Hey folks, this is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Wednesday night Bible study online. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day.
Some prayer requests. That's what I wanted to share with everybody tonight. Dear Pastor Mike and friends, they don't know me too well. I don't have many friends. Dear Pastor Mike and friends, I will be having surgery for cancer on the 16th of this month. Please pray for me and my dear wife, Laura. This is from David. Please pray also that the Lord Jesus would be glorified in our lives to everyone we have contact with, that we do not miss a chance when a door is open to give praise to our wonderful Lord Jesus. Amen. We will have to stay in Southern California. I guess they really need prayer for that one. For a total of 20 days before we're turning back home to Northern California. Man, that is a long way. If you've ever driven it, and I have, but just the length of California, I mean, it takes forever. Anyway, that's from David. And then I had a lady call today, and I told her I would mention this. I remember talking to her here a while back, and she called this afternoon again. She wants us to pray for her son, John, who she said at one time he just believed the old-fashioned way, and he believed the Bible and everything else. And she said now he's gotten into all kinds of stuff, and she said he just kind of lost his way. And as she was talking, and I told her, I said, "You sound like my mom." I said, at one time, me and my mom got into a big argument 5 minutes before church on a Wednesday night because she found out I was going to have a heavy metal rock group up on this stage. And I don't care how old you get, mom is still mom.
Amen.
Amen. And she was letting me know what she thought about it. We got into a big argument over it. And I hung up the phone and put on my spiritual face and come out here and had Wednesday night service. And God started dealing with me about that. You ought to listen to your, forsake not the law of thy mother.
Amen.
My mama knew it was wrong. She said, "Boy, I didn't raise you that way." She didn't. And so anyway, God began to deal with me and I canceled that thing. And praise the Lord for that. So anyway, I told her, I said, she said, what should I do? I said, pray. Mamas pray. I said, it just seems like when mamas are praying for their kids, it just, things happen. So I told her we'd pray for them tonight. So that's what I want to do. I want to go to the Lord in prayer tonight and pray for these and maybe others that are on your mind. Pray for one another tonight. Pray for our church. Pray for Lisa and I. Pray for our ministry here. And got some visitors in today from Sasquatch land, Saskatchewan, Canada. And it's good to have them here. And we'll have some more visitors coming down on Sunday that I know about. And listen, there ain't going to be a whole lot of Easter eggs and bunnies around here on Sunday, but there's going to be a lot of talk about raising from the dead. Amen.
Amen.
And new life. And I like that. I don't back away from that stuff. Amen. I don't back away. Listen, I don't, if they want to have their little pagan rituals, that's fine. But I'm not going to back away from that stuff. I'm going to make it about Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. That's who it's about. And so anyway, just pray for our church and just pray that we can keep on doing it. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your kindness and your mercy, God. Thank you, Lord, Father, for just a good time I had studying the Word today. Lord, you was just tapping me on the shoulder saying, "Mike, look at that. Mike, think about that. Think about, meditate about that for a while." And God, you helped me, and I appreciate that, Lord. It's been good to just study your Word today. And Father, Lord, maybe these folks sitting here tonight, maybe those watching tonight, Lord, they haven't had that opportunity yet. Lord, life gets busy, and you know the world we live in. It just gets busy, and sometimes we just are neglectful. But Lord, Father, you got us here tonight. You got our attention. Lord, help us to focus on the study of the Word. God, teach us great and mighty things that we know not. And Lord, Father, remind us of things that we may have learned at one time before. And Lord, just stir up our remembrance with your Word tonight. Awaken us, Lord, to your Word. Father, we pray for this man, his wife, Lord, that's having surgery. Lord, I appreciate their testimony, Lord, that they sent. And I pray, Lord, that you'd do that. I give them an opportunity to share Jesus with somebody, Lord, in that hospital. And I pray for the Lord. I've just listened to this mother today and talking about her son, and she just grieving, Lord, over her son. I pray, God, Lord, that you would open up the windows of heaven. You'd shower blessings upon her. Lord, Father, just give her your grace. And Lord, Father, just deal with her son like you've dealt with me. And bring him back, Lord, to the Scriptures. Bring him back to the truth. Lord, Father, bless these that have come tonight. Lord, Father, just give them rest from their work and their labor today and their travels. And Lord, Father, we just ask, Lord, that you would just enlighten our hearts and show us some good things out of your Word tonight. Lord, let us know, dear God, that after all the labor is done, there's going to be a time of rest, and we're looking forward to that. So, Lord, bless and honor your Word. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And just enjoyed studying this out today, and I was kind of looking at it, and I thought, you know, I'm gonna revisit some things that I've talked about before. And so here in Hebrews chapter 4, by the way, you know, and I'm going to ask a question. Did I skip chapter 3? I don't think I did. I think I got it. I think I got it last Wednesday. All right. Sometimes it's hard for me to keep it. Anyway, if I skip chapter 3, somebody's gonna let me know about it. All right. But anyway, here's what and y'all remember here a few Wednesday nights, I came out here all excited about my teaching on 1 Corinthians. That was Sunday. So anyway, I studied Hebrews chapter 4 today, and that's what we're going with. Can I get all those in favor, say aye. Amen. All right. Anyway, Hebrews chapter 4, beautiful, beautiful illustration here. And God just helped me one time back in the early part of God showing me things out of the Bible. I just asked the Lord some questions. I said, God, I'm going to put everything out that I've ever learned, everything that I was taught, everything I read in the books, everything I saw on television or whatever. And Lord, I'm going to let you put it back the way you want it. And there at one time, I mean, right at the beginning of this, I said, God, if you want me to be amillennial, that's what I'll be if it's the right thing in the Scriptures. Now, I didn't really want to be amillennial, but I said, God, if that's what you want me to do. Now, and I kind of, you know, I had some books that I got from Bible college written. It was a book written about Revelation. It was written by a guy from down at Baylor University, and he was an amillennialist. So he was writing it from that viewpoint. By the way, if you don't know what that means, amillennial teaches that the thousand-year reign of Christ is not literal. It doesn't really mean a thousand years. They kind of relegate that to a thing that they call apocalyptic language and apocalyptic literature. They say the book of Revelation fits nicely into this little category of what was known back then as apocalyptic literature. There was a lot of different books here and there that was written about so-called future events and this, and that, and the other. And I'm just going, you know, that sounds good, but it doesn't sound right. And so anyway, according to the amillennials, the thousand-year reign is, the millennial reign is now. Jesus is actually reigning now in the hearts of all the believers. And the devil, of course, is bound now. And I'm going, that's not what I found out a few days ago. Amen? So, I mean, just... And now, the amillennials are good on symbolism. They just ain't got a whole lot of substance. It's like eating Rice Krispies. They look big. Okay? But they're not. There's just not a lot there. And so anyway, but I just asked God, Lord, is there going to be a rapture? Is there going to be this thousand years? Does it mean a thousand years, or does it mean something else? And once God showed me the literalness of the Scriptures, every time I turned around and was looking at a passage out of the Scripture, it just dawned on me that maybe it just means exactly what it says. And our interpretation is not required. Amen? Let's just believe the Bible If it says 1,000 years, then it means 1,000 years. And I'm going to kind of help you with that, with the language of the Bible. Okay? I'm going to kind of help you with that tonight so you understand that when you read something, number one, learn to define it the way God defines it. And don't worry about man's definition of it, because man did not author the Bible. God did. And so we learn the way God wants us to learn. So I remember reading Hebrews chapter 4, and the light was coming on in my mind. The light was coming on, and God was showing me things and how God's plan is all in order, because that's how God does things. He does it in order, and He expects us that if we're going to follow Him, that we follow Him in order. Amen. God doesn't like confusion. He will use confusion to judge wicked people who don't want to know anything from God and who just want to obey sin. He will use confusion to keep them in confusion. But God's style is order. God likes order. And I don't care. And you have to be just an extreme slob. But I found out that most people in at least one area of their life like for some things to just be in order. Okay, my wife pulled out the checkbook today, was over at the license office, and I'm just watching her. She's done when she writes a check, she has done the exact same thing for 25 years that I've known her. Okay, exactly that. When I write a check, who knows? Okay, so I don't write checks. Okay, I don't do that. You go in and look on my desk in my office. And most often it's a pile of this, that, and the other. And after a while, I just say, I can't stand this anymore, and I got to clean it up. If you look on my computer desktop, it's in order, buddy. Okay? I keep it exactly the way it's supposed to be. So anyway, God's got an order about everything. In Hebrews chapter 4, He's going to show us. He's actually revealing prophecy to us. He's revealing how He talks in Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore fear. Verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 4, lest a promise being left us of entering into His what? His rest. Aren't you glad there's going to be a rest one of these days? Say amen. It's going to be a rest. Any of you should seem to come short of it. I mean, why would you spend all this whole life laboring when you're not going to get to make it to the rest? That's what I'm looking at. You know, you work all day, and you get up in the morning, you go to work, and you start work, and your goal is to work. Long about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, what's your goal then? It's to get done. Okay? You're looking at the clock. Is it 4 o'clock? Is it 4:30? Is it 5 o'clock yet? You're looking at the clock because you're working for after work. When you don't have to work no more, when you don't have to pick that up anymore and put this over here anymore. So you're actually looking forward to getting home and sitting down on your nice couch, amen, or your comfortable chair and sitting down and relaxing a little bit. God blesses us with rest. Somebody say amen. And I like having rest. And so it's not just a temporal thing where there's just rest on earth. There's actually a rest that is being promised to the people of God, if we'll just follow God and His commandments. So it says in verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. Now I want you to think about that statement right there. It says unto us, Gentiles, was the gospel preached as well as unto them. Did you know you can see the gospel back in the book of Genesis? Do you know you can see it in Exodus? You can see it in Leviticus. You can see it in Deuteronomy. You can see it, hey, you can see it in Numbers, can't you? Numbers is where Moses lifted up a serpent in the wilderness. Well, there's a gospel there. Because in John, Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. You know what God was doing? He was teaching them the gospel. God was even in the bounds of the law, Moses lifting up a brazen serpent there in the wilderness, and said, if they would just look upon this thing, then they'll be, God said, I'll heal them of their diseases. Okay? God was showing them the gospel, that if they'll just look on it and trust in it, then God would heal them and God would forgive them. And that's exactly what he was trying to show them. He was trying to show them that he was going to have grace and mercy on them. Even though they were murmuring in the wilderness and complaining to God, and God sent serpents in his anger to bite them and to kill them, he still offered them salvation right there in the wilderness. And the gospel was being preached. Can I hear you say amen? So you just go all through the Old Testament and the gospel. I don't know where, maybe I just didn't go to Bible college long enough to study some of the advanced, elite, theological points. Okay, because people are saying, oh, no, that's different. And what Israel has a different this and different that and on. And I'm just saying, it looks to me like the gospel was preached to the Jews in the Old Testament. Here's the problem. Here's why Israel did not get saved in the Old Testament. Do you know why? It was preached to them. They didn't believe it. It won't work if you don't believe it. So if Billy Graham gets on Robert Schuller's program, I'm going to turn this air back on while I'm talking. If Billy Graham gets on Robert Schuller's TV program and says, I think people are going to heaven even if they don't believe in Jesus, I think that's messed up. Yeah. Amen? I think that's unscriptural. I think a man who stood behind a pulpit in front of millions of people with a King James Bible for a long time, then he kind of changed over a little bit, started endorsing these new Bibles. I think a man who's preached out of this book ought to still believe the book that he preached out of, but he don't believe it anymore. He says, well, maybe it's something else. Maybe it's not this. And I'm here to tell you that if I'm standing here tonight, I'm giving you the gospel and I'm giving you Bible verses and I'm trying to sow seed into your life. If you don't believe it, it's not going to do you one bit of good. Right. Amen. It's not going to help you at all. If you know what you are? You're wayside. Your wayside. That's Mark chapter 4. The sower sowing seed. Some fell by the wayside. Okay? You're out there on the wayside. And I mean, as soon as the seed goes out, here comes the old devil coming in gobbling up. Has no effect on you whatsoever. And that's Israel. Say, where do you get that, Pastor? Well, let's read it. Verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with what? Faith is belief. Belief in what? The word. You see, here's where I'm going to differ. And you've heard me use this expression. When I'm referring to Christianity, I'm referring to the whole realm of everybody who says, I believe in Jesus, or I believe in a Jesus, or something like that. When I say Bible Christianity, that is different than everybody else's Christianity. Because it's not just, oh, I believe in Jesus. I believe in what God said, Jesus. That's different. Because if you and a lot of the devils also believe in what? They tremble. Okay? And you'll find people out there and they are as adamant about their doctrinal position as you and I are, or you and I need to be. They say, well, I believe in Jesus. And if you're going to be saved, just believe in Jesus. And that's their method of salvation. You just accept the fact that Jesus lived. But I'm just telling you that if you don't believe what God said, you're not going to be saved. You can't be saved if you don't believe what God said. You say, well, I believe in Jesus, but I think there's probably parts like the book of Jonah. That probably didn't really happen, but it's a good metaphor. It'll help us. Then you're saying, God, you're a liar. And you're not saved. Amen. Are you with me on this? You got to see, it says right here, not being mixed with faith. The what? The word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. The word preached. Not the stories, not the myths, not the fables, not the Jewish traditions, nothing like that. It was the word of God that had to be preached to them. Boy, I tell you what, I was reading something that I can't turn to it right now, but I made a note of it today. I think it was back in Isaiah. I could probably find it if I was going to waste about 30 seconds of time tonight. But it was talking about they had no light in them because they didn't believe what I said. And that's the key right there. And you know what happens in churches when you stop believing the Bible? Then you start turning to familiar spirits. And that's what's going on right now. People stop believing the Bible, but they gotta have something. They gotta have some spirit in their church. And so it is going to be a familiar spirit. It is going to be a devil that they're going to believe in, that they're going to follow. So you have to believe in the Word. And they had the Word. They carried the Word around with them, the law of Moses. They carried it around with them every place they went. When they wandered 40 years in the wilderness, they carried the Word around. They had it. They just didn't believe it. And they didn't want to believe it. So, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For verse 4, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. Now I want you to stop right here. And here's what God is trying to get us to think about. He's trying to tell us that there is a time of rest that is coming to God's people. There is a time of rest coming to the world, by the way. A time of rest, okay? And he mentions here in verse 4, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day. And I like how the Bible just tells you that it's a certain place as opposed to an uncertain place. It's not only in a certain place, it's a certain word, and it means what it says. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his work. So God is trying to put something in your mind here. That and here's what I'm getting at. We have this concept, we die, we go to heaven. Okay? It's not done yet. Okay? Because if we die and we go to heaven, we're coming back. Because we have some things left to do. God's not finished with everything yet. He's going to be one of these days, but he's not finished. There's a time of rest appointed to this earth, to the people of God, to the Jew, I believe. There is a time of rest that he's going to give them. So we're going to talk about that tonight. So it's the rest. And I want you to notice that it is, the rest is denoted as the seventh day, or what they would say, the Sabbath day. And we're going to cover that here in a little bit too. Verse 5, and again, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Verse 6, seeing therefore that it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief, again he limiteth a certain day. Okay? According to the law, could you rest on the fifth day? No. Could you rest on the second day? No. It had to be the seventh day. The rest that God planned for them was not going to come on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. It was going to come on the seventh day. It was going to come on the Sabbath day. That was the rest that God had planned. He didn't put a rest anywhere else. Okay? So again, he limiteth a certain day, verse 7, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. So he keeps using the word day. He keeps saying the word day. There's a certain day that's going to happen. There's going to be a rest on this particular day. So he says, harden not your hearts, verse 8, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? And just remember that everything in the Old Testament, including the law, is all about prophecy. It's all about not just what happened. It's all about what is going to happen. And that's how God began to show me how to understand the Bible as a sure word of prophecy. Is just that if you turn to page 852 of your Old Testament, there's a prophecy there. It's prophecy of the last days. Amen. And if you go back to page, in fact, I'll even turn here to page 666 in my Thompson Chain Reference Bible. There's prophecies here. It's in the Psalms, by the way. There's prophecies here. So no matter where I turn, no matter what I was looking at, no matter what story or law I was reading or parable or whatever, it was a prophecy concerning some things that are going to happen in these last days. And while one crowd, like these amillennials and the preterists are a shade worse than the amillennials. Preterists say it's all been accomplished, fulfilled, including the second coming. And I'm going, what are they smoking? Oh yeah, the second coming has already occurred. And so we have this remnant of a religion that really means nothing for tomorrow. That's got to be the saddest religious belief in the whole world, is to believe that your holy book meant something great 2,000 years ago. But it's all over with now. What in the world have you got to eat, drink, and be merry? Amen? And so anyway, they don't buy this thing that it's literal, that it means exactly what it says, that it's all prophetic, and it all means exactly what it says. Let me get to where I'm going here. Take your Bible. Turn to the book of Genesis chapter 2, if you would. Genesis chapter 2. Let's look at the design of God. He declared, God showed me that He declared the end from the beginning. So if you want to know prophecy, read Genesis chapter 1. There are scores of prophecy in Genesis chapter 1. It's a creation. I am a new creation. It's the beginning of the heaven and the earth. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And how God did it here is a picture of how He's going to do it there. Because God does not change. He's the same. Aren't you glad? I'm glad that He's the same. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, and on the seventh day. Now, again, you have to believe what the Bible says. Okay? It doesn't say, and on the seventh epoch. It doesn't say on the seventh era of time. It doesn't say after the gap. Okay? It says on the seventh day. How long was that? Well, what that could be in the original Hebrew was it could be a long expansion of time, like a few billion years. That would account for the age of the planets and the solar system. No, because it said the evening and the morning were the day. I don't need to go to more Bible college to understand how long evening and morning is. Amen? I don't need another book to tell me that it's evening and morning. So it's 24 hours. The seventh day God ended His work, which He had made. And we asked the question, could God not have just said, let's go, and then everything be all created all at once? He could have done that, right? That's how He could have done it. He has the power. But if you can make it in 6 days, you can make it in 6 seconds. Amen? I mean, it's the same principle here. If there's nothing exists and you create it in 6 days, then it just seems like you could have done it a whole lot quicker. Okay? But He made it in 6 days, and then He stopped what He was doing, and He rested on the seventh day. So seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And verse 3, and God blessed. And that word blessing is always a salvation word. Because you're not blessed if you're not saved. Amen? But if you are saved, you are blessed. And so God blessed. There's a salvation coming. God blessed the seventh day, and He did what? Sanctified it. You know what that means? Said He made it holy. And the number seven, The number seven has that idea that it's complete, that it's sanctified, that it's holy. When the priest would sprinkle the blood, how many times on the Ark of the Covenant? Seven times. When Naaman was to dip in the River Jordan, how many times? Seven. And so the if you follow the amillennial idea, would say that as Naaman was told to dip in the River Jordan seven times, Naaman could have just thought in his mind, seven, that is a wonderful number. Am I clean yet? That's not what he did. Naaman, if you remember, did not want to go do that. And his servant said, you know what, Naaman, if he would have told you to do some great, big, magnificent thing, wouldn't you have done it? Yeah. Then why don't you just go to the River Jordan and dip seven times? See, what's it going to hurt? Maybe you have to swallow a little bit of your pride. So he did. Seventh time he comes up, he's got skin like a baby. God sanctified him, washed him clean from his leprosy. And that number seven, the words of the Lord are pure words. Pure is sanctified. If you're sanctified, you're pure. That's what the word being made holy means. Sanctified means to be made holy. And if you are holy, you are pure. I hold in my hand a holy Bible. Paul told Timothy that from a child thou hast known what? The holy scripture. So it means that they are the words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. There it is again. God's way of purification is always around the number seven. Priests sprinkling seven times. Naaman dipping seven times in the River Jordan. And all of these marching around Jericho seven times on the seventh day. Okay? They're going to clean that city out. So that's what happened. So anyway, so he sanctified it. In verse 3, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Now go to Exodus chapter 20. Let's look and see what saith the law. Maybe we should have Miss Ellen White come in here and sit down with us. The matriarch of the Seventh Day movement. Because the Seventh Day people say that we have the mark of the beast on us. Jim, you have the mark of the beast on you. You know why? You go to church on Sunday, you devil. Okay? And they say, well, it's right there in the law. You don't keep the law. That's your problem. You don't keep the law. Gary likes to get these people on the phone. So, yeah, you don't keep the law. Gary asks him, which one are you not keeping? Maybe I should call you during your busy day and ask you, how come you're not keeping the law? Okay? And they do a lot of double talking. Okay? And they say, it's right there in the law. You have to go to church on Saturday. It's right there in the law. Ellen said so. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Here's the law. This is what I'm going to be held accountable to. This is how I'm going to be judged in God's courtroom in heaven. Remember, what day? Remember the Sabbath day. So the first part of the law is remember that day to keep it holy. How do you keep the Sabbath day holy? Now, right here, we're going to find out how to remember the day. But to keep the Sabbath day holy, what do? We remember it. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's simple English. Remembering the Sabbath day is what keeps it holy. Keeps it, as you said, set apart. Okay? It's not Friday, it's not Thursday, it's not Tuesday afternoon. It is the Sabbath day. It is the seventh day. Not the first, not the third day. It's the seventh day. Don't forget that. Okay? And you remember when you had teachers in school and they said something like 3,000 or 4,000 times and they said, don't forget that. Why were they telling you that many times and telling you not to forget it, Megan? It was going to be on the test. Okay? You know what it is? You're going to see this again. You need to remember this, Jim, because you're going to see this again. That's what they're telling you. This is what God is telling us. Remember it. Okay? This is why he wanted them to do the Passover every single year. Why? So that thousands of years later, and who in the world does anything for 1,000 years? Nobody. But God said, keep the Passover. Thousands of years later, here it is, Jesus going, this do in what? Remembrance. He said, you've been doing the Passover. Let me tell you why. This bread that you have been, that you and your dad sat and broke this bread. Is it online? Okay. This bread that you've sat with your daddy and your grandpa, let me tell you what it is. You remember this bread? Yeah. This is my body. Now he's going to tell them what it means. Okay? But they had to remember it. So remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Then he's going to tell you how to remember it. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day thou shalt go to church. Doesn't say that, does it? The seventh day thou shalt congregate. It doesn't say that either. Okay? It says the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Now, I love how the Bible will explain this for you if you'll just keep reading. In a later part of the scripture, it says servile work. Okay? Servile work. Going to work. Okay? It doesn't say you cannot comb your hair. Please, comb your hair. Shave. Take a bath. Okay? If you are walking across your living room and there's a candy wrapper, please pick that up. Amen? Okay? So the Bible will even explain what it means here. Okay? And rested on the seventh day for, I'm mixed up here. In that, they shall not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. If you want to keep the Sabbath day and you want to remember it, rest. Rest. I would be breaking the law by having you congregate on Saturday and me being your preacher. I'd be breaking the law because I would not be resting. And when Saturday comes around, I've just made it a point, 9 times out of 10 or 99 times out of 100 or 90 times out of 100, I'm not going to be here Saturday. Not going to be around the building. I'm not going to come here. Okay? I'm going to rest. Get away from this place. Amen? And that means you're not all supposed to show up at my house. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. Okay? That's what it means. He's telling you the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day. Why? You're going to see it again. You're going to see it again. Now, what I was going to do is I'm going to bring my whiteboard out here and I was going to draw this all out. But I'm just going to explain it to you this way. Okay? And I want you to think about this. Okay? In fact, take your Bible. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to see how God talks. Okay? And I have such a reverence for the Word of God that I would never, never deliberately handle the Word of God deceitfully. Now, am I capable of making a mistake? Absolutely. Am I infallible? No. I don't care if it's standing here, up there, I don't care where it is. I am not infallible. Okay? But I'm just believing the Bible the way the Bible is intended to be believed, the way God wrote it, not trying to change it. Amen? So let's think about it. God says a day. So the day, according to Genesis, was evening and morning, 24 hours. Can, according to Scripture, the day be longer or the day have a secondary meaning other than evening and morning? Let's look at what saith the Scripture, 2 Peter chapter 3. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. Peter, being led by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, is trying to tell you, don't lose sight of this one. Don't forget it. Don't be ignorant. To be ignorant means to ignore. When you're ignorant, It's not that you didn't know it or somebody didn't try to tell you. It's just that you ignored it. That's, by the way, that's different than being dumb. When you're dumb, you can't learn it and won't learn it. When you're ignorant, you just heard it and ignored it. Like people, when you hand out tracts to them and they look at it, they're ignorant. They cast it away. They don't want it. They had the truth in their hand, and they don't want anything to do with it. And he's telling you, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, if you just want to do a study of one word in the Bible, just get your computer up or whatever and look at the word as. All 57,000, I don't know how many times it's in the King James Bible. The word as. And let me tell you, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. See how the Bible's using that word. Amen. This is as that. And all through the Bible, when you see the word as, that is God's way of saying, when you look at this, this is how it's going to be right here. Does everybody follow that? So just kind of jot that down in your little notebook, all right? So excuse me. Anyway, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. He not only said it once, he said it twice. He wants you to know that they're interchangeable. So when you see 1,000 years, you can think a day. And when you see a day, you can think, according to Scripture, 1,000 years. Let me give you, another witness. Psalm 90, verse 4. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Here in Psalm 90, verse 4, it says 1,000 years is like a day. Okay? So now we have witnesses all over the Scripture that tells you that. Now, I want you to take your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 2, and I'm going to show you just how literal God's word is, and how you really don't have to doubt it. You don't have to question it. You don't have to try to change it. And you don't have to say, well, it says this, but it doesn't really mean this. I'm here to tell you that if it says it, it means it. It's kind of like your mama and your daddy, Bradley. If your Bradley said, you boys get in there and clean that room, or I'm going to take my belt off to you. Better go do it. If he said it, he means it like he said. So watch this. Genesis chapter 2 verse 16. I'm going to show you this. Here's the law. Here's what God said. This is the proto-law. This is the law before Moses. And it's interesting to me. I want you to look at Genesis chapter 2 verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, and if you were to start counting with the word of and go all the way to the word die in verse 17, you're going to have exactly 39 words. You know how many books there are in the law? 39. Amen? God was giving him the law. Now here, watch this. Here's what he said. The Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now, if we were to go to Genesis chapter 3, and some people who will say, and you ask the question, did not God say that in the day that Adam ate of this tree that he would die? And then you look at Genesis chapter 3, and Adam is still living past this day. And they would say, well, he died spiritually. And that they use that word spiritual, Brady, as it means something in the clouds up here. It's a metaphor. It's like a whatever. It doesn't really mean what it says. I just think that if God said it, he meant it. Amen. Okay? So remember what we can do. We can take the word day and make it 1,000 years because God said that we could do that. That's how he speaks. So if we look in Genesis chapter 5, you'll see that Adam lived 930 years. You'll see that Methuselah lived 969 years. In fact, he was the oldest man in, according to the Scriptures. 969, that is a long life. And I'm tired after 45 of them. Amen? Mike, you've only got like 920 some odd years left. I mean, it'll go by just like a day. Okay? I want you to notice that. And God, I just thought about this one day and it just went, this Bible's right. Nobody lived to be 1,000 years old. Nobody did. They came close. But what God said was absolutely true. Okay, yes, maybe as far as their relationship with God before they ate the fruit, that died off. But the literalness of the scripture, when it's applied to itself, it literally meant that in that day, 1,000 years, no one lived past that. No one made it. God meant exactly what he said, the way that he said it. And so your responsibility is to not try to make God adapt to your way of talking. Your responsibility is to make your mind adapt to God's way of talking. Can I get an amen out of God's people? Amen. Okay? So if it says it, it means it. So watch this. Okay, let's apply this and then we're gonna cut out of here. Okay? Here we have, and then maybe next week, I don't know, maybe next Wednesday we'll talk a little bit more about the millennial reign, but we may just move on. We'll see what the Lord does. But here's the thing, okay? God created everything that is in 6 days, okay? So let's apply that time period. 6 days, 6,000 years. Does everybody follow that so far? Okay? So we have from the creation. Did you know that if you just believe the Bible and go according to the time frames, genealogies, you can actually count this out. Several scholars have. From the time of Jesus backward to the creation, somewhere around 4,004, some 4,003, depending. See, we get kind of messed up when we're trying to figure out exactly when Jesus was born. We can't quite pinpoint it. Okay, for some reason, I don't know why that's lost, but we can kind of start in a general area, go back to Adam, counting the lineages, the times that are given to us in the scriptures, and we're 4,000 years before Christ. Well, we start with Christ, move forward to now, we're somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,000 years past Christ. 2,000 plus 4,000 is 6,000. 6 days. Amen. And I don't know about you, but we're getting close. Amen. To the seventh day. Amen? Yes. Seventh day. So we have 1,000 years, which is the day of the Lord. It's coming. Because Revelation 20, verse 2, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. The devil himself, I mean Lucifer himself, is going to be bound up, cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. You know what that, you know what effect binding the devil is going to do? Whew. Well, now we can rest. Because I woke up this morning fighting. Amen. And I woke up yesterday morning fighting the devil. And I woke up the day before that fighting the devil. And I woke up the day before that fighting the devil. And one of these days he's going to be cast in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And all of humanity is going to be able to go, it's time to rest. Let's rest. Let's take a break. Let's let God have his time. Can you say amen to the Bible? So you know what? If really what I wanted to do with this lesson was nothing more than to show you in this one way, and I could show you in 1,000 ways, but in this one way, I wanted to show you that if you're reading it and it says it here in the King James, it just means what it says. Try to find out what it means, not make it mean what you want it to. Okay? Old Brady sat down with me. I said, Brady, won't you meet me at Hardee's? Because I thought he'd buy me something. Brady, won't you meet me at Hardee's? And we sat down at Hardee's, and Brady's starting to tell me now how God's moving in his heart. And man, I wanted to shout. in that restaurant. Because he's saying, you know, he said, I've just been reading, who was it, Dake? Okay. He said, I've just been reading. He said, this idea that maybe the Bible just means what it says is right. And he said, you know, all these years, down deep in my heart, that's what I wanted to believe. But he said, the J-Dubs wouldn't let me. The Watchtower won't let you believe what the Bible says. The Watchtower will only allow you to believe what they say to believe. But he said, I kind of knew it. Am I telling it right, Brady? I kind of knew it. And he said, I've just come to the point now where if I'm reading it, I just believe it. If it says this, then it's this. And it wasn't too long after that, he said, my office saying, God, I believe it. Save me because I believe it. And Brady's going to get his rest. Bradley's going to get his rest, and Mike is going to get his rest, and everybody here is going to get some rest one of these days. Michaela is going to get some rest one of these days. Amen. She's going to rest. That mouth is going to close for 1,000 years. Okay? Let's enjoy it while it's open. Amen. Okay? But here's what I'm saying. If it says it, just believe it. And if it looks kind of weird to you and it doesn't make sense, keep reading. Because God will define God. Amen? God will define God. He'll tell you what it means. That's that. And when God showed me that, I'm like you. I just said, you know what? I don't care what I heard in Bible college. I don't care what they tried to tell me, that 1,000 years didn't really mean 1,000 years. I just believe 1,000 years is 1,000 years. Amen? Let's stand to our feet.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, God used to, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word. God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.